1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich is among several Americans freed and headed home now following a multi-nation prisoner exchange with Russia. CBS's Natalie Brand.
The Kremlin took Gershkovich into custody while he was on assignment in March 2023. Paul Whelan was arrested in 2018 when he was in Moscow to attend a friend's wedding.
The U.S. is still urging Americans not to travel to Russia over the risk of wrongful detentions. Senate Republicans just rejected a bipartisan package that would have expanded the child tax credit for millions of families. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
They're not interested in passing anything, clearly.
They're on their way out for August recess.
I'm calling it out. Political penance from private accounts.
And rappers Cardi B and Offset are headed for divorce now. Cardi wants primary custody of their kids, too, according to the court documents she filed today. She announced on Instagram she's also pregnant with her third. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Tune in this week to Seth Faces the Music, where I'll be playing songs about life, part one. Yep, there's two of them. Check it out every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest polls show Vice President Kamala Harris pulling ahead of Donald Trump in Wisconsin since President Biden dropped out. The Emerson College poll has Harris beating Trump here by 2 points. So does the Bloomberg News Morning Consult poll. Wisconsin's fall primary is less than 2 weeks away. Local election officials and voters are learning new ballots, guidelines, and procedures. Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Ann Jacobs says some results may not be known until hours after the polls close.
People should expect, if the race is close, that Milwaukee will be tallying until the early morning hours. And I want people to know that now so that we don't have these silly rumors and conspiracy theories going on in November.
Jacob speaking with Wisconsin Eye. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The school supply drop-off is today in Wisconsin Rapids. Because of the rain, United Way will be collecting school supply donations at the former East Junior High School from 11:30 to 1. Parents and guardians can still register if their students need a backpack filled with school supplies to start the school year. Call 211 or register online at uwswac.org. Lunch by the River is still happening from 11:30 to 1 at Veterans Memorial Park. The heat is rolling through, but so are the pop-up splash pads. There's two on Friday in our area, one in Rudolph at the Think Academy parking lot from 1 to 2:30. The Rudolph Volunteer Fire Department will have their ladder truck set up. Children must be accompanied by an adult. The other is in Stevens Point at Washington Elementary. The Stevens Point Fire Department will be spraying from their ladder truck from 1:30 to 5:30. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The dog days of training camp.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. That's the Green Bay Packers offensive line driving the blocking sled in yesterday's hot weather.
We know it's going to be hot. Warned them yesterday to make sure they take care of their hydration, everything they put in their body, make sure you get a good night's rest, and it's going to be a little bit of a gut check, I think.
Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, who says the players will have tomorrow off to rest up for Saturday's sold-out family night inside Lambeau Field. The Wisconsin Badgers football training camp continues today at UW-Platteville. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Braves 6-2, but Pat Murphy chose to focus on the positive. Willy Adames, with 112 consecutive starts now at shortstop, surpassing Pat Listash.
You know, Willy Adames just set an incredible record today, playing that many games in a row at shortstop. That's something to celebrate. I have myself, and I've been lucky enough to be healthy, and I have myself ready to play every day.
The longest streak, 207 games at shortstop by Robin Yount. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Attention Badger fans, the countdown to kickoff is on. Get ready for Wisconsin football this fall as single game tickets are now available with select games starting at just $35. Don't miss out on big Badger matchups including Oregon and Penn State, all on the home turf. Secure your seats today and experience the excitement and energy of Badger football at Camp Randall Stadium this season. For more information on single game tickets, call 1-800-GO-BADGERS or visit uwbadgers.com. That's uwbadgers.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some evening storms, then turning partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with a low in the mid-60s. Sunny, hot, humid tomorrow, a high in the upper 80s to 90. Weekend highs stay well into the 80s with a chance of showers and storms Saturday night and Sunday. Right now it's 73.
Midday Magazine, talk radio that speaks with you, not at you. Join the conversation 4 to 5 Monday through Friday as we discuss local issues, events, and more. We'll be here interviewing some of your favorite local people. And find the podcast at civicmedia.us. Midday Magazine, a dialogue like no other. Only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olson, senior advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and yeah, it really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, join us next time. I am back in the host chair with my head examined and Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badger. Be here.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, August 1st, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two at 4:30, we're going to speak with our friend Anna Mitchell, natural resource educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Right now, in studio, some great new friends of ours from Mid-State Roller Derby. We have Mia Petit in with us, Big Shrimpin'. Good to see you again, Mia.
Good to see you, James. It's wonderful having us.
Thanks a lot for being here. Thank you very much for the time. I appreciate you. And we want to welcome to our studio Megan McDonald. Megan, nice to have you with us.
Good morning.
Megan, you don't have a nickname yet. We got to get you a nickname.
Oh, right? I have a derby name.
Oh, you got a derby name. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome.
I've had a derby name for 13, 14 years.
I would imagine. Yeah.
I'm Angela Smashes.
Oh, my God, that's good. Oh, that's good. Oh, I love that name. Oh, that's good. More about that and your history in a little bit. And thank you again for being here, Megan. I've heard a lot about you, and I appreciate the time. And I appreciate not only your guys' time, but what Mid-State Roller Derby is doing. Certainly, you know, giving an avenue for people, it's certainly anybody to be able to do these things, and women and age, of all different ages to be able to be a part of something. We don't have enough opportunities for women like that. That is amazing. The support of the rainbow that comes with this is so certainly important and vital in this day and age. But there is also just the fun and entertainment value that this is and giving an audience and a great show. I've talked about this with a lot of listeners since the last time Mid-State joined us and talking about roller derby and spreading the sport. And one of the things that I've kind of talked to people about as well, there's certain sports you don't get right away, but you got to watch and take in to really, really understand that much better. I come from a hockey family, and my dad and I have spent our whole lives trying to spread hockey and everything, and hockey is incredibly similar to this. I can explain to you the rules of hockey, but you're not going to get it until you really watch hockey. And so that's why we encourage you to attend these roller derby events, take them in as much as you can, and spread the word of what our friends at Mid-State Roller Derby are doing. And that's where I'd like to start, if you don't mind, ladies, with what Mid-State Roller Derby is. So, Mia, I ask you a big question like that. No tough questions here today or anything.
No pressure, Mia. Nothing difficult.
Okay. Nothing difficult.
Sum up Derby.
Right. Yeah, yeah, and you have 5 seconds. No. But all honesty, you know, if somebody asks you, you're trying to sell the sport, you're trying to let people know about these matches coming up. How do you explain it to them?
So I explain it in terms of how many people we have on the track and kind of what the goal is. So each team has 5 players on the track. 4 of them are blockers. 1 of them is a jammer. And the goal is for your jammer to pass the opposing blockers and score points by going around the track. There's more nuances to it and mm-hmm. things like that. But
that's the gist of
it. Yeah, that's the general way that I explain it.
Well, and I think it's a great explanation. I think it really is, because even those nuanced details that you're talking about, I think people will pick them up more and more as you take in these games and watch them, which we encourage you to do. We're going to tell you more about that in a moment. I do want to note that Mid-State Roller Derby is a Stevens Point-based 501c nonprofit organization. The league was founded back in 2010, been doing this a while, and by dedicated skaters that continue to
be volunteer run and operated, which is as a side note, more on later, we are always looking for volunteers and people that want to be a part of Mid-State Roller Derby. So we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But I want to go from asking me and putting her on the spot, I mean asking her a question, about like that, to you, Megan, because I'd like to know what Mid-State Roller Derby means to you. You've been doing this for quite some time. If you wouldn't mind giving us a little bit of your background with Mid-State Roller Derby along with what it means to you.
Sure. I was actually one of the founding members in 2010. You know, I answered an ad in the newspaper. That's how long ago it was. And have been skating ever since. I've held multiple positions on the board of directors, have been a skating member. The only break I took was during COVID. And then I came back, and I can't believe that I did, actually. I am currently the oldest member on the team. And yeah, Derby... I'm going to try to not get emotional about it. Derby for me is amazing. It is empowering. It is, it's so much fun. It is my social outlet. I worked in a pretty physical job during a big chunk of the time that I was skating Derby, in corrections. And so Derby was really my outlet. I could go and skate fast and hit hard and, you know, my friends loved it and I loved them. And, it was just, it was a really healthy outlet for a stressful job. And now that I don't do that job anymore, I still love it. It's still an amazing outlet. We travel, we have fun. I mean, we're a group of girls that get together and do a whole lot of stuff together. We do community events. We volunteer all over the place, but we also play Derby. You know, it's Derby's not everything, but it's a huge part of why we all get together.
Yeah. I cannot thank you enough for that answer. Thank you, Megan. And thank you for the work that you and others put into this organization to get it to this point. I got to ask, what does it feel like to be at this point in seeing the growth of the sport, the younger people like me and stuff getting involved in it and falling in love with it like you did, kind of falling into it in some ways, too. And just to see that we're on the upswing of this. We're on the right end of it and everything. Yes. It's got to feel pretty amazing.
It is. We have some newer skaters that are really just taking the bull by the horns and jumping in and are committed for all the right reasons. And that is so, it's so heartwarming to know that all of the blood, sweat, and so many tears of starting a nonprofit from scratch is sort of coming to fruition and that it hasn't died out. Lots of leagues don't make it this long. So the fact that we're still going strong 14 years later tells me that we're doing something right.
Well said.
Yeah.
When it comes to encouraging people to be a part of the sport, whether it is, you know, volunteering and helping out with things or just being getting in there, putting on some skates and getting out there, what do you say to people to kind of, not so much to encourage them, but to let them know, hey, this could be a great avenue for you. This might be an outlet for you.
We have volunteers that do so many different things that are not skaters, right? Like skating is not for everybody. And we recognize that, but there are so many other things that we need. We have people that do marketing and promotional stuff. We have people who do organizational stuff, statistics. You know, I just mentioned the other day, that like on the nerd Venn diagram, there are some things that overlap pretty well. So math people, people who are in physics, people like there are so many different other things that translate to Derby super well. And it's just, you know, there's a lot of us that are introverted, except when we're at Derby.
Right.
And so it's fun because you're in like this safe space that you can sort of stretch your wings a little bit and then go back to your nerdy little introverted life like me.
I think that you really hit a couple of, I know that you hit on a couple of people out there that heard that and related to a couple of things you said there. For one, I know that there are so many, and specifically women out there, looking for avenues like this that have not had them in years past. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, our society hasn't done enough to give opportunities like this or support opportunities like this. Correct. So that alone is speaking to a number of people out there, I would imagine. And I'm so glad you brought up the physics and the science and some of that behind roller derby. I know it's something I thought is really cool about the sport, but I learned it from my dad. My dad, I mentioned, is a former athlete, but that's not what got him into roller derby. He's also a human calculator. My dad's brain is just a human calculator and loves that part of the match, that part of the game and stuff so much. So it's a great note by that mm-hmm. that I wouldn't have thought of that. I'm mm-hmm. glad you brought that up. It's a fun sport. Mia, when you're celebrating the sport, when you're telling people or you're talking to friends or anything and encouraging them to maybe be a part of things, how do you word that? How do you pitch this to people, if you will?
I pitch the community as well. I pitch that, like, you know, it is such a welcoming space, and it's so awesome to meet different people. And you don't just meet people from your team. You meet people from all over, like all of the teams that you play. Most derby people that you meet, like at the end of the day, after the bouts, where we hang out, we have a great time, we chit-chat. Up in our last game in Keweenaw, I was ended up like dancing all night with the other team, and it was a great time.
The camaraderie mm-hmm. that exists with this is so important mm-hmm. to it and everything. And I think a lot of us that have done athletics and everything, you're speaking our language. Mm-hmm. I talk to a lot of former athletes. I live with a former, you know, see one every day with my father and some of these. And it doesn't matter if it's from a Hall of Fame pro level or if it is at these kind of levels or anything. You talk to people, and the thing they miss the most about the game is not winning or losing or any of that. It's the camaraderie. It's the teammates. It's the being around the people, your fellow teammates and everything. And for many people out there, you might think that you have aged out of certain things or whatever. Roller derby is here for you. There is no age limit on roller derby. And so young, old, where if you're in between, you all are welcome. And I mean that completely, not just by age, but by anything else under the gamut. You are welcome. This is it's such a fun thing to be able to say about roller derby. And I appreciate both of you noting how much that Mid-State does in the communities and gives back and everything. That's another fun but really cool part of what you guys do. I don't believe that anybody expects that, but that you do it is above and beyond. And it's greatly appreciated by our communities, not just here, but in Point and all around Central Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Mid-State Roller Derby is thrilled to announce an action-packed Roller Derby doubleheader coming up this Saturday, August 3rd. Let's talk about this. I can't imagine how excited you guys are to be able to get on the rink and get going and everything. This is going to be a fun one. This is going to take place at KB Willett Ice Arena in Stevens Point. When it comes to a doubleheader, is this any different than kind of other sports with doubleheaders? I see that game one begins at 4. Doors will open at 4, and the first whistle will blow at 4:30. This event will feature intense competition, fierce athleticism. We can kind of gauge some of that. But as far as a doubleheader, how you approach a doubleheader, do you save a little energy for that game too? Do you kind of pace yourselves any differently in game one than game two? Mia, do you approach this any differently than you would a regular match?
I have not had the pleasure of playing a doubleheader before.
Okay, okay.
And this game on August 3rd that we're having is actually going to be, the first game is our team against CVRD, which is Chippewa Valley Roller Derby, but then the second game is Mississippi Valley
mm-hmm.
Mayhem mm-hmm. versus Lance
Marquette
Roller Derby.
Yeah, so we're not playing the second game.
Right.
Yeah, but I imagine it gets exhausting. Watching the previous skaters or the skaters who've been in it a long time doing two games mm-hmm. in a day is wild. Mm. Like, they're just machines out there.
Yeah. Well, all of you guys are. All of your machines out there. It's intense and it's fun watching this action. It's also, I think that's also noteworthy too to sports fans out there. It's nonstop action on there. Mm-hmm. For anybody that is very interested by sports like that, where it's just constant go go go. Man, roller derby is for you. You're gonna enjoy this. For Megan, as far as getting ready for a match like this, and this is more what I wanted to ask is kind of, this is the last match of the season, correct? Mm-hmm. This is your last home match of the mm-hmm. season. So is your approach any different to this one than it would be to another match, a normal match during the regular season? I imagine you want to leave it all out there. You want to give the home crowd a good time.
Absolutely. Yes, I haven't skated actually for about 6 weeks because I had some surgery. So I'm coming back just in time for this last bout because there's no way I'm going to miss it. That's just not going to happen.
Right.
So this is our last home bout. And when you get to be my age, you kind of, we have another skater on the team who is, she fosters from another team, and she's in my age bracket-ish. Mm-hmm. But we always talk about how the number of games we have to play is sort of finite physically. And so we appreciate every single game that we play because we don't know how many more games we have, right?
Yeah.
So it's a home bout. I am super stoked. I think our attendance has increased over the course of the summer. We had amazing attendance at the last bout. We expect that for this bout as well. I'm stoked. I am all in. We're playing a team that we play and have played over the last decade repeatedly. Chippewa Valley Roller Derby is amazing. They're one of our like sister teams or sibling teams. They're fantastic. The bout is going to be more of a B-level bout for us, which means that we get to put a lot of our newer skaters out on the track.
Cool.
And let them have fun.
Yeah, right? Give them some experience and everything in real time.
Yep. And then the second bout that we're not skating in, we will be dispersed through the crowd, answering questions, talking to people about derby, whatever, explaining the game, doing all those things that we wouldn't normally have the opportunity if we were going to skate both bouts back to back.
Yeah. In that second game, I don't know, I don't mean to put you on the spot and ask for a preview of the two teams, but it, from what I've been able to see, two very good teams going at it with Mississippi Valley Mayhem and Marquette Roller Derby.
Yep. We have played both of those teams in the past. Great group of skaters, both leagues. It will be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. I will say I'm kind of excited that we don't skate a second bout because I get to actually sit and watch and like scream and cheer. And yeah, it's so much fun.
We're going to have concessions down there, merchandise, activities for kids. This is a true family event. Bring one. Everybody come on down. And that also goes for you and the guys. You and the guys are looking for something fun to do. Come on down. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the event. You and the kids are looking for something fun to do. You come on down and enjoy yourself. There's something for everybody. And again, great concessions, great merchandise. Get some of this merch, everybody, so that people around town and everybody are going to see you in the Mid-State gear and ask you what is that? Oh, it's Mid-State. And then you can explain what it is. And everything and help us spread the sport. Be a part of this doubleheader again coming up this Saturday, August 3rd. The doors open at 4 over at the wonderful KB Willett Ice Arena in Stevens Point. A shout out to them hosting this event. Really do appreciate them doing that. One of the things the three of us have been talking about is kind of getting people involved in roller derby and spreading the word about this. I think a great next step of that is offering classes, and that's something you guys have taken the initiative of, and you have a Roller Derby 101 new skater class starting in September. Can we talk about this and let people know about this, Mia?
Yeah, so I'm super excited for this. Basically, it's going to be an introduction to skating and roller derby class for people. It's going to be a 5-week class, Sundays and Tuesday nights at Melody Gardens in Marshfield. It's going to be a really great opportunity to learn about the sport and just to learn how to skate in general. So if you've been off skates for a while or you haven't really skated, this is a great opportunity to learn, and veteran skaters will be there with you, walking you through things and helping you.
Yeah, she's really good, Megan.
I know.
You guys
I'm just sitting back and watching.
Yeah, you guys don't really need me. I'll just push the buttons over. Really well done. That's nicely done, Mia. It's a 5-week course. It's not even that long of a program or anything. Not a huge time commitment. Doesn't sound like it's the classes themselves are that long. So that's nice too. And it's when we're asking people to, and this is for really any continuing education class that anybody would offer. You only have so much time. And trying to fit these things in. It's really smart the way you guys have done this and compacted this. I am also curious if somebody's out there listening and they're hearing this and they're intrigued. Well, what if I haven't skated in years? What if it's been a while since I've been out there? What if I'm worried if I'm not in a good enough shape? Some of these questions you might get. How would you answer those? Mia, Megan, either one of you.
Well, from personal standpoint, prior to skating, I did not skate. I was not good at skating. The first Learn to Skate class I went to, I was hugging the wall for months, okay?
She's not exaggerating.
I am not exaggerating. Like, I would crawl along the wall on the skates. So if, just do it.
Yeah.
The only way to get better is to practice, and we're giving you space and time to practice, so please come.
It's fun, right? Like, we're only on this rock for so long, and we only have so many opportunities to do fun, different things. This is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think affordable. It's not a gigantic time commitment. And if nothing else, it gives you the opportunity to just try something different. Yeah. It's not about age. It's not about being fit. That comes with practice. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't been super active, you haven't been on skates, or you've been super active but in different sports, mm-hmm. Derby won't necessarily be automatically easy, right? It's a whole different set of skills. Mm-hmm. It can be kind of humbling for people who are super athletic in other things, and then they come to Derby and they realize, oh, yeah, this is different. But it's amazing. It's super fun. We're very encouraging and supportive. Melody Gardens is amazing. There's food. It's a family-run mm-hmm. business. They're incredible. Yeah, I can't say enough about our Learn to Skate class.
There is no side effect to this. There is no downside to this.
I mean, you might be sore.
But boy, that's a good sore. That's a good workout out there. And there's another part of this too, where so many people are taking the initiative of their health, their mental health, their mm-hmm. body health, and wanting to get into shape and wanting to exercise in some of these things. And one of the things that I've noted from roller derby and other sports like this is it's a great exercise. Mm-hmm. It's a great, not only are you going to have fun and get a little bit of that competitiveness out of your system and some of that, but you are also going to be doing this with friends, people that are going to become like family to you, while also getting that exercise in, keeping yourself in good shape and everything. And
all about the endorphins.
Yeah, yes. It's so many endorphins. Yeah. So much fun. With these classes, not only are they quick, they're Sundays, 5 to 7, Tuesdays, 6:30 to 8:30. But again, as Megan mentioned, they're very affordable. $20, you can save your spot. You pay $25 the day of. And you will also know that you are putting into Mid-State and what they're doing for our communities. It's really a full circle way of putting back into your community, because that's what Mid-State Roller Derby does. So that money is invested into our community, invested in the Mid-State Roller Derby and doing the great work that they're doing over there and having the fun that they are and giving us the entertainment that you guys do.
And don't worry about not having gear. We have loaner gear. You just let us know ahead of time. You just bring yourself.
Yeah.
And that good attitude.
Mm-hmm. And remember that all comers are welcome. No prior experience needed. You're going to learn a lot of things with this class and, you know, get a little bit more basic skating skills and learn more about roller derby itself and teamwork and sportsmanship. And some of the most fun parts of this are that. Mm-hmm. So you're going to really be able to enjoy that. For more information and to register for a new skater class, you can go to their registration page at join@midstater.org. That's join@midstater.org and find out more at midstateRollerDerby.org. midstateRollerDerby.org. Be sure to like their social media pages as well and keep up to date on all the great things they are doing. And let's make sure that they have a sellout crowd, have a full crowd. Let's show them what home field advantage is, everybody, and support our Mid-State Roller Derby. Game one of the doubleheader coming up this Saturday, August 3rd. Doors open at 4 over at KB Willett Ice Arena. Be sure to be there, get your gear and some concessions. Get a good seat and take in a great show, because not only do we have game one, Mid-State Roller Derby versus Chippewa Valley Roller Derby, but game two will feature Mississippi Valley Mayhem versus the Marquette Roller Derby. Megan, Mia, have a great time this weekend. Enjoy yourselves. We'll see you down there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. We really appreciate the time.
Yeah, thank you for having
this
us.
This is becoming one of my favorite interviews. You guys are coming back. We'll bring you back real soon, okay? Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's gummied up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Don't you score a new ride? Find a deal that hits out of the park with Johnson & Sons, your neighborhood Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep dealer and service center. Serving Wisconsin Rapids and central Wisconsin area for over 84 years through four generations. See the difference that family can bring. Serving Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Clover, Weston, and Cronenwetter. Take a swing. Don't miss out on these great deals at Johnson Chrysler Jeep in Wisconsin Rapids.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's no end in sight for Wisconsin's nursing shortage. At least that's according to the Department of Workforce Development. Two of its prediction models forecast that Wisconsin could have as many as 19,000 too few nurses by 2040. A new study recommends states take a public health approach to legalizing marijuana. The American College of Physicians says it would consider the effects of legalization on communities, not just users. The college's David Hilden.
States that legalize cannabis should consider, what framework are you giving for marketing, for advertising? What safeguards are in place for the content of your cannabis? What about the effects on our roadway?
Cannabis is illegal for recreational use in Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a new way for Wisconsin Rapids schools to keep in touch with parents and guardians online. It's called Parent Square. The WRPS district announced this new form of school-to-home communication is designed to keep parents informed and facilitate participation at school. Teachers and other school staff will be able to send school and class information, share pictures and files, and more. Parents and guardians will receive the information on their computer or phone for all school and grade levels. There's even a free app you can download. Cream Puffs and the Wisconsin State Fair are almost synonymous. But Tess Kirkson says another Wisconsin treat is just as important.
We have plenty of cheese curds to go around, and you can actually kind of sample all the different types. There's no shortage of cheese curds here at Wisconsin State Fair.
The fair runs August 1st through 11th in West Allis. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a movie to watch this coming October 11th, you might want to check out Saturday Night, the film about the launch of Saturday Night Live in 1975. The Hollywood Reporter writes that it is getting a primo release date when it comes to award season. The film is directed by Jason Reitman and tells the story of the behind-the-scenes drama leading up to the first episode of Saturday Night Live. Real-time host Bill Maher sat down for an in-depth, as much as possible anyway, conversation with Haley Welch, a.k.a. the Hawk Tua Girl, on his Club Random podcast, where Maher shared his views on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. Maher said he thinks Kelce will dump Swift because Swift is immature, and at 35, a little too old to be wearing her boyfriend's football jersey, said the 68-year-old Maher to his hot 21-year-old guest. The episode saw the self-proclaimed intellectual Maher laugh at the jokes Welch dropped in between double negatives. Why would you sacrifice your principles to talk to someone whose fame timer is in rapid decline? Yes, I'm asking Haley. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wamba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some evening storms, then turning partly cloudy, warm and muggy tonight with a low in the mid-60s. Sunny, hot, humid tomorrow, a high in the upper 80s to 90. Weekend highs stay well into the 80s with a chance of showers and storms Saturday night and Sunday. Right now it's 73.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
Some researchers have explored the impact of melatonin-enriched milk on sleep because it comes from cows milked at night.
Ooh.
Night milk has been shown to improve symptoms of insomnia in some people.
Night milk. Yeah. We should try some night milk.
Night milk. Yeah.
I would love to actually talk to somebody who actually does this. If this is like a new avenue for milk growers.
How about milk producers,
I should say.
Yep.
Milk doesn't grow on trees. I learned that when I was 20.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on Locally Grown Radio.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 a.m, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll evaluate the Paris Olympics at the halfway point, talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, and this week's media coverage with Mark Jacob.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, August 1st, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. And welcoming into the studio, our great friend, UW-Madison Extension Wood County's Anna Mitchell, natural resource educator. Anna, always good to see you.
Yeah, always good to see you too, James.
We have a great time when we get together. We always get a good conversation in and inform the audience while having some fun. And the topics you touch on are always timely. And we're going to go with algae today.
Which is very timely.
Very
We've
timely.
Been on some of the lakes here in central Wisconsin, Peatonwell, Castle Rock, some of the tri-lakes.
You know,
very timely.
Absolutely. But with that, algae is one of those words that people hear it, and I think they make assumptions right away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you hear algae and immediately you go, oh, that's bad. But before we get started, I just want to make it very clear that not every algae is harmful, and that true algae, like green algae, are a natural and important part of our aquatic ecosystems. True algae are known as primary producers in our food webs, which means that they can convert sunlight and inorganic chemicals into usable energy for other living organisms, and they're also a very vital part in our food webs themselves. So most algae are very microscopic. You can't really see them, and they serve as a main supply of high energy food for larger organisms like zooplankton. And then the zooplankton are eaten by smaller fish are eaten by larger fish are eaten by mammals, etc. It goes on in the food web. So our true algae, the not bad algae, mm-hmm. are very important in our aquatic ecosystems.
Yeah, which is integral to all of this. And I appreciate the breakdown of that. I have to say, it reminds me a little bit of learning about like fats and how we were told so long every fat is bad. And then we start learning more and more that, oh, well, yeah. there are certain fats that are actually good for the right. body, good for the brain and some of that. Right. It's a very similar thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say some algae species, the ones that we kind of tend to think of as those bad ones, even the good ones sometimes, they can produce excessive biomass, which is the biomass when we see it, it's called a bloom, right? That's the green mats that you see. If you have like a pool outside for your dog and you see that mat of green on it, that might be what we call a bloom. And that sometimes, depending on the species of algae, can lead to harmful impacts to the environment, like low to no oxygen or even acidification of water. Sometimes it impacts human communities. We'll get into a species of algae mm-hmm. that kind of impacts us here. And then sometimes the conditions can lead to poor taste in the water. Sometimes an odor that is unbearable. And obviously that can affect recreation, tourism, and sometimes even drinking water, which is not common around here because we get a majority of our drinking water from underground, from the groundwater.
I imagine they are or know that they are dealing with a little bit of this in the Olympics right now in Paris with some of the triathletes and everything going into the water and them checking it and everything. Like there's a lot of interesting stuff going around throughout the world when it comes to this topic.
Right.
But today we're gonna focus on some common freshwater HAB.
Yep. And when you say HAB, what we're referring to are harmful algal blooms. So algal growths that lead to impacts on human health and the environment are referred to as harmful algal blooms. Those are those HABs. And we're going to focus on one very common HAB in our area, HAB, and that's blue-green algae.
Okay, now I'm sure that, I mean, I know what blue-green algae is, but you know, just in case the audience doesn't know, I don't know actually, I don't know. What are blue-green algae?
Yep. So blue-green algae are a group of photosynthetic bacteria that are most found or that are most often blue-green in color. They can vary to all blue, all green, reddish purple, or even brown. There are many different species of blue-green algae. Around here, we see a lot of the green blue-green algae, and sometimes even the blue if it's a pretty bad bloom. So if you're out on water and you look into the water and it looks like there's just this, it looks like pea soup. That's the best way I can describe it. That's probably blue-green algae. Pea soup, just thick, yucky. Sometimes when it gets that blue in it, it looks like maybe a little bit of a oil stain of blue in that thick mat of green. It's like a scum.
Okay.
Pretty gross.
Yeah, yeah. When it comes to like the certain environmental conditions, can this grow quickly?
Yeah, yep. So blue-green algae generally grows in lakes, ponds, and slow-moving streams when the water is warm and enriched with extra nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen. So when environmental conditions are just right, those algae can grow very quickly in numbers. They just start to multiply really quickly, which is what causes a bloom. So most species are buoyant, which means that they'll float to the surface where they form that scum layer, which is what we see, or floating mats even sometimes. And when this happens, obviously, we have a blue-green algae bloom. In Wisconsin, blue-green algae blooms generally occur between mid-June and late September. So kind of we're smack in the middle of it.
Timely.
Yeah. Although in rare instances, we have seen some blooms in winter under the ice, which is really not common.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating, actually. That's really interesting.
Yep. And at this point, you might be thinking to yourself, well, how does blue-green algae differ from true algae? So cyanobacteria, which is the blue-green algae, and green algae, which is true algae, blooms are often confused since both can produce a dense surface and water column growth that can impede on our recreation, like it just doesn't look pleasant. And blue-green algae are generally not eaten by aquatic organisms like true algae are. Yeah.
That's interesting. Okay. Yep. So that kind of messes up that food web we were talking about.
Yeah. Huh. Yep. So if you have blue-green algae that's really dominant, it's not a food source.
Yeah.
Not like true algae is. However, unlike cyanobacteria, which is that blue-green algae, green algae are not generally known to produce those toxins, which can be really harmful. And those toxins are known as cyanotoxins, which actually can lead to a lot of health risks in humans and even animals. So that cyanobacteria, blue-green algae, can produce cyanotoxins that are really impactful to us.
It sounds like it. So how do blue-green algae blooms even occur?
So under the right conditions, blue-green algae can multiply very rapidly into a bloom. And I think I just said that a little while ago. But the potential for blooms comes down to nutrient loads, which is the amount of nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen that are in our water. So in abundance, those nutrients can be a real big problem. They occur naturally in our waters, but when they're over what their limit should be, it can cause a blue-green algae bloom. The elements enter the waterway, so the elements I'm talking about are that nitrogen and phosphorus. Those enter the waterways from point source pollution, so that can be industrial or wastewater treatment plants and discharges, non-point sources like septic tanks that are not functioning properly and are seeping, stormwater runoff from urban areas, farms, and residential areas too. So, and when the conditions are just right for nitrogen and phosphorus in the water, and we have an increased increased temperature, the sunlight conditions, and flow are just right, that triggers a bloom. It's those blooms normally occur in Wisconsin when we've got those warm, calm, sunny weather and the temperatures are higher than 75 degrees. The water temperature is higher than 75 degrees. So I think with the weather we've been having now,
it's a perfect storm for it. Yeah. What are the effects of blue-green algae blooms? You touched on this a little bit, but a little more detail if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah. And I just want to focus on the effects because you know, I don't think a lot of people know that it can be as harmful as what it is. So if you're going to pay attention to one thing, it should be this.
You know, very similar to when we've talked about lawns and some of that. People notice when their lawn doesn't look the way they want it to. Very similar to, you know, your water or wherever you're taking it in and stuff. But how this happens, what it is doing, it's not just that it doesn't look that pretty or it's not that presentable. There's more to it than that. Yeah, so that's it's a great note to go to.
Much more. Yeah, people can become sick if they swallow, have skin contact with, or breathe in airborne water droplets while swimming, boating, water skiing, tubing, any kind of outdoor activity in the water that has harmful algae, like our blue-green algae. So when someone becomes sick from exposure, they may experience vomiting, diarrhea, rash, eye irritation, cough, sore throat, and a headache. Symptoms generally start to occur within an hour to 2 days after exposure.
Dang, that's a bad time.
And that's in adults. It's even worse.
Ooh, yes. Yeah, can't imagine.
Another important thing to touch on is our pets, like especially dogs. They're really susceptible to exposure to blue-green algae because they're relatively small and tend to swallow a lot more water when they're playing in it. And then when they're in the water, what do they do when they come out? They lick their coats and they're just exposed to it. Symptoms for dogs are very similar to those in humans: vomiting, weakness, difficulty breathing, seizures, and in the worst case, death. Like, I know a couple of people in this area whose pets have died from exposure to blue-green algae. So it's really not something that we want to play around with.
Yeah, yeah. And whether it is our children or our furry friends, these are things that we, it's our job to protect.
Yeah.
And being aware of these things is sometimes just as important as how you handle them and how you fix them, or however you would like to word it.
Yeah.
I really cannot thank you enough for this topic today, Anna. We're speaking with Anna Mitchell, natural resource educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. What can you do to avoid exposure with this, Anna?
Yeah, I would say my number one rule is, if you're questioning the water at all, if it looks off to you, if it looks like pea soup, if there's this green film on top of it that is a lime green, any off color, just don't go in it.
Yeah.
Don't go in it. I used to monitor beaches in my old job for blue-green algae, and sometimes I would just sit there and shake my head at the people who were swimming in blue-green algae. And I'm like, how do I approach this politely? Yeah. You know, and say, hey, come on.
I had the same feeling as a kid growing up in Chicago and seeing people going to Lake Michigan. Yes, it's like, what are you doing?
But I guess you don't know what you don't know, and that's why I'm here right now. So number one rule, like I said, if you're questioning it, just stay out. Keep yourself out. Keep your pets out.
Trust your gut so you can protect your gut.
Yeah, that is very good, James. Yep. So avoid or just minimize recreating waters that appear that they might have blue-green algal blooms. If you come in contact with it, make sure you wash yourself off with fresh water right away. Yep. And monitor yourself for any of those symptoms, right? Obviously, don't let your animals drink or swim in the water. If they go in it and you catch them in it, do the same thing. Rinse them off. Make sure they're you're trying your best not to let them lick their coat. Like, that's hard.
Yeah.
But just try your best. Mm-hmm. And then if you do come in contact with blue-green algae, if you think you're experiencing symptoms related to exposure, like I had mentioned, contact your doctor or even the Wisconsin Poison Center right away. They'll give you guidelines on how to treat it, what to look for, how to continue monitoring it. Just let a health professional know. And then obviously if your pet displays symptoms like seizures, any of those major ones, vomiting, diarrhea after going into water that looks suspect, make sure to call your vet. Mm-hmm. As soon as possible,
which is very helpful to know. Oftentimes we almost forget that it can be similar rules for us as our animals.
Yeah.
And when our animal is hurting or our child is hurting, a lot of rational thought goes out the window. So it really does help having these things kind of in mind already as we, you know, and try to enjoy our summers and try to enjoy the water and all the great pathways we have around here and everything.
Yeah. And what do you want to do when the weather is like it is now? It's hot. It's humid. You want to go swimming. Sometimes just maybe look at the water before you go in. Do that little assessment before you go in.
Yeah.
And then if you or anybody you know or your pet even is exposed and becomes ill from harmful algal blooms, you should also report the case to the Bureau of Environmental and Occupational Health or visit the Department of Health Services in our area. Lots to look out for, to keep in mind, but...
You know, Anna, just to piggyback on that question, that last comment you had there, if we do see these things, should we report this to the DNR? Should we report it to you? Is that also important to do?
You don't report it to me, but yeah, report it to DNR. If you go to DNR website, you can search on their website HABs or even blue-green algae, and then they have a tab on there that says report an algal bloom, report a harmful algal bloom. They have email you can email them at too. It's dnrhabs@wisconsin.gov. And you can let them know where that algal bloom is, etc. I would highly recommend you go to the website first because they want you to include some information in that initial email.
All the more data they have, the better that it is for them.
And they're not they don't have the capacity just to continuously monitor every single lake during every day of the summer for harmful algal blooms, so we really rely on citizen support when it comes to things like this.
I forgive me if I have this wrong, but I think we even had a topic once where we talked about how much water we have in this state, how many lakes we have and everything. There's a lot to cover here. It takes really all eyes to be able to do these things. We have a great DNR, wonderful people over at that program. Shout out to them and the good work that they do. Our extension friends like you, Anna, doing such great work, but there's only so many eyeballs. There's so many people. It really helps out a long ways when you're able to give us this data and this information too. And I think too that one of the things that you've kind of touched on in this is really important as well, especially if you've been seeing this for your, you know, any time of your life and you've just kind of looked at it and said, well, that doesn't look right. I'm not going near that. But that's the end of the story for you. You can actually help with this. We can make an impact on this subject.
Oh, yeah, we can make an impact. And I said, talking about how those algal blooms form, right? We said excessive nutrients like phosphorus and nitrogen. If you live on a lake, it doesn't even matter if you live on a lake. If you're have a yard, or if you have a yard, just
do you have land?
Do you have land? Do you have a yard? Something like that. If you're using fertilizer for your grass, make sure that you are fertilizing when needed. Don't fertilize just because you want to and just because you think your grass needs it. Wait until you know your grass needs it and then do it according to the rules from the manufacturer. Don't just go throw it on there. And especially don't fertilize your lawn right before it rains, because it does not have time to absorb, and then it just washes right into any water system that we have. It's really important. That point is to, if you live on a lake, you know, I think in our minds we see a lake house and we see that gorgeous landscaping with that nice green yard, but just know what it takes to get that nice green yard is also affecting how green your lake is as well. So it's a give and take, right?
Right. And that burger you see in the commercial does not look like it does when you order it. Like, images in these things are a little bit overdone, I think. Yeah. They're a little oversold. The most beautiful lawns are the ones that are healthy and have a healthy surrounding area as well. And what you put into our land affects all of our land.
And the same goes for like urban areas and agriculture, right?
Yes.
That runoff gets into our lakes just as easily as the people that live right on lakes, right? It's just not maybe as a direct impact.
Properly maintaining stormwater systems seems like an important one too.
Yeah. If you just take the time to look at your stormwater systems at your house, clean your gutters out. Right? Clean your gutters out. Maybe you have a rain garden where water's pooling, helps it filter out. Septic tanks, make sure that they're up to date, not that they're not leaching. You know, there's a lot of different things that we can do to help reduce non-point source pollution.
And this topic is too big for us not all to be, it's all hands on deck when mm-hmm. it comes to this stuff. Mm-hmm. We need everybody, every community member, every person, whether you're a homeowner or not, whether you live in an apartment or you have a bunch of land that you live on, everybody is important and everybody's data is important on this one. And I do think too, and this is just me speaking here, but I think accountability is very important too. Having self-accountability, but certainly to our businesses out there as well, and making sure that, hey, people are not putting into our land. People are not dumping things or any of this. I'm not saying that it's happening. I'm saying that we don't want it to happen. So let's keep an eye on the ball. Let's make sure of this. Let's hold ourselves and these companies accountable and make sure that we're keeping our land not only good for us, but for future generations, which is what this is all about.
Mm-hmm. Our land and water.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anna, we've touched on some really great things today. One more time, if you wouldn't mind, if you see significant blue-green algae bloom, who should we contact? Who should we email?
Yep, you should email the DNR email address, dnrhabs@wisconsin.gov. The DNR website has further details on what should be included in that email. If you go to DNR website and then just search blue-green algae, there'll be a tab that says report a bloom.
And I imagine, too, for some, especially people like me that are visual learners, mm-hmm. maybe if you've seen this that much, you know, looking at the website there is going to be a real good reference for
yes.
you.
Yes. Just there's so many incredible websites that you can go to and resources. I mean, Minnesota DNR has great resources for algal blooms. Just if you don't know what it looks like. We all have a device in our pockets mm-hmm. where we can easily look it up.
We got these supercomputers we're walking around with.
Yeah.
We also want to encourage you to reach out. You know, the gang at UW Extension, not just Anna, but everybody over there has the same mission and really trying to do the same things, inform you. Mm-hmm. There are no bad questions.
No.
There is not any bad questions you could ask UW team over there. So if you are curious about some of these things and some of those other resources just aren't really hitting it for you, mm-hmm. or you just want to talk to a person to ask these questions or find out more, I encourage you to reach out to Anna. Anna, if they want to do that, how can they?
Yep. Like James said, you can stop in and see us at the Wood County Courthouse, and then you can email me at anna.m.james@wisc.edu.
That name again. There,
I know.
You know, I just realized it's been way too long since I've been over there. I got to stop by over
you
there,
should.
Too. I got to say hi to everybody
you
over
should.
There. I'll make them think, oh, wait a minute, do I got an interview today? I'm going to stop on by. But Anna, you know how much we appreciate you and our community does and the work that you're doing here. Thank you so much. Keep up the great work. Enjoy your summer. We will talk again real soon.
Yep. Thank you so much, James.
And thank you all for joining us. Spread the word about our shows. And remember that you can find all of our shows and our previous shows at civicmedia.us. You can download the podcast, spread them on your social media pages, and help us spread the word of the great work that we are doing around here. We greatly appreciate that. Again, civicmedia.us. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up for you here at WFHR 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. We are locally grown radio.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
The host of American Ninja Warrior, Matt Eisman. When I first started watching Ninja Warrior, it was like, this guy was a track athlete. Now they train to be Ninja Warriors. It's like doing the Stairmaster to be better at the Stairmaster.
These were kids who grew up watching Ninja Warrior. They weigh 140 pounds. They don't have anything but muscle, and all they're doing is algebra homework, and they remind me how old I am.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Randy Weingarten, the dynamic and influential president of the American Federation of Teachers.
The Heritage Foundation want their way of life rather than the diverse, pluralistic democracy that has been America for 247 years. It's this fight between anger and aspiration.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer joins us from the recombobulation area. We learn more details about President Biden's efforts to free hostages held in Russia. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary,
What's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. and Russia have made their biggest prisoner swap in post-Soviet history. State Department spokesman Vedant Patel.
President Biden and Secretary Blinken have made securing the release of Americans wrongfully detained and held hostage overseas a priority. And we have seen dozens of Americans return home over the past 3.5 years.
Wildfires are forcing people to leave their homes now near Denver, Colorado. Evergreen Assistant Fire Chief Stacy Martin.
It's hot, it's dry, and they're doing their best they can.
Wildfires are also spreading in Oregon and California, with smoke now drifting into Nevada. And hundreds of video game performers with SAG-AFTRA hit the picket lines in Hollywood today, demanding more protections against AI. They're demonstrating outside of Warner Brothers Studios in their biggest labor action since going on strike last week. It follows strikes, similar strikes, by actors and writers. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The latest polls show Vice President Kamala Harris pulling ahead of Donald Trump in Wisconsin since President Biden dropped out. The Emerson College poll has Harris beating Trump here by 2 points. So does the Bloomberg News Morning Consult poll. Wisconsin's fall primary is less than 2 weeks away. Local election officials and voters are learning new ballots, guidelines, and procedures. Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Ann Jacobs says some results may not be known until